Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Young Women Transform podcast. I'm Heather Risley with USAID's Office of Education.
And I'm Lindsay Wolf with Youth Power Learning.
After a week in Uganda, learning from Safe Plan Uganda's work, we caught a flight to Nairobi, Kenya, to meet another youth-led organization that won the Young Women Transform Prize. We've had a day to recuperate, so Lindsay and I are really looking forward to meeting a new group of inspiring young people. We're going to visit staff from the Kibera Community Empowerment Organization, also called KCEO. This project is mostly located in an informal settlement called Kibera, which is part of the larger capital city of Nairobi. It's a really different context than Misindi or Nyantonze, where we were in Uganda. Rather than a remote rural village, these young people serve a community in a poor urban area. Lindsay, you also visited this project a few months back. Can you give our listeners a description of what Kibera is like?
This is my second trip to Kibera. I always love meeting Rhoda and the staff here at KCEO, but I am struck by just how many people live here. Based on some recent statistics that we found, the population could range anywhere from about 500,000 all the way up through a little over 1 million, depending on which villages one would include in the area of Kibera itself. So we're talking about a really large number of people in a relatively small geographic location, and almost all of the housing is still very informal, with no paved roads. Electric wires have been put up everywhere, and there's no underground sewer system. So that's the context in which this program is operating.
Right. So in terms of how this program is set up, incorporating a social enterprise is key to KCEO's approach. Like Safe Plan Uganda and their production of cook stoves that they sell in the local market, KCEO sells handmade shoes in bright colors and different styles, which are actually available for sale online. I definitely wanted to check that out. The business is called K-Shoes. Beyond just understanding their business model, we're looking forward to hearing from the staff and talking about their work in supporting young mothers who are disabled by helping them gain employment and changing the community around them. We're also going to talk about the prize-winning activity called the Young Mothers Incubation Program, and they're really doing some innovative work. For example, they have this thing called a Pitch Fest, which is basically like the Kibera version of Shark Tank, where they pick which businesses to support based on a number of socially focused criteria. It's pretty cool stuff. What are you looking forward to, Lindsay?
So I'm really interested in seeing how the organization is doing, how they're progressing, and how their grant program is adapting based on what they're learning so far, and digging into how they're addressing the needs of this marginalized community in Kibera.
In addition to introducing you to some key staff at KCEO and providing some background and introduction to their work, we're going to also focus on the theme of local solutions again. Way back in one of our first episodes, we explored how this theme related to Safe Plan Uganda. The KCEO project is also very much grounded in the local community and the context here, so we'll be discussing what that looks like. Here we are. The team has arrived in Kibera, and we are in the K-Shoes office, which is the place where the social enterprise for KCEO is located, where they make shoes from some of the leftover waste materials that's found in this community. So it's both a sustainable approach as well as providing income to sustain the organization and their skills and training activities. So we are looking out over a pretty large area that is very much sort of an informal economy with lots of sort of temporary structures, a lot of dirt roads. You can also see some established primary schools in the area along the way, so it's interesting to see somewhat kind of a mixture of both the informal and some of the more formal structures. So we're really excited to be here, learn more about this area, and speak with some of the KCEO staff. So we'll be hearing much more from them about their programming and their approaches, so we look forward to that. And now here's Lindsay with our interviews.
When we got to KCEO, I sat down with Rhoda, director, and she told me more about Kibera, how KCEO got started, and how many people they've helped so far. Rhoda, can you please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what your role is?
Thank you very much. My name is Rhoda Ayeko. I'm the founding director of KCEO, and I'm also the I oversee all the roles that are all the activities happening in the organization. Yes, that's what I do as at now, and I'm also a co-founder at KSHOES. Yes.
Have you lived in Kibera all your life?
Not really. I wasn't born in Kibera, but I was raised in Kibera. So I can say I've lived the longer part of my life. I've been to Kibera. I've lived in Kibera.
And what was it like for you being raised in Kibera?
For me, it was, I can't say it was something pleasant. It wasn't. Because most of the times we could spend on empty stomachs, we could spend the night on empty stomachs because we could not afford just food for the day, let's say that. But it's been a learning lesson for me as an individual, and that's why I am where I am today, because I would love to see other people's lives change and not passing through what I went through growing up.
How big is Kibera and how many people live here?
Kibera is very big. We have the Kibera itself is divided into 7 villages. There are different villages in Kibera, and KCEO is situated in a village called Gatuekera.
Why did you want to work in Kibera with the community here?
Being raised in Kibera, I've seen very many opportunities. I've experienced very many problems in Kibera slums, and I just felt like this needed to change. There needed to be a change in Kibera, and that's why I'm striving to create that change.
How many beneficiaries have you reached through your programs?
Wow. There are so many beneficiaries. Let me say roughly, because when we're doing the calculations of our beneficiaries, we include the direct and the indirect beneficiaries. So far, I can say it's around 150,000 beneficiaries.
That's very impressive. How many are direct beneficiaries are in a typical training cohort?
I just wanted to jump in here and explain one thing. Part of the KCEO model is a series of trainings around business skills, among other things. Rhoda is going to refer to training cohorts, which are just individual small groups of women who go through the same class at the same time. Okay, back to our interview.
In a year, we do 4 cohorts of the training of the young mothers. So each cohort, we get 25 women. But there are normally so many applications that come through because we don't just go picking women with disabilities. There is a structured formula that we use. So we make our applications open for the young mothers with disabilities. And so they bring in their applications and we take them through some interviews. And then from there, we get to choose those women with potential. And so a typical cohort contains 25 women. It means in a year, we do 100 women.
We also had the chance to speak with Malaki, a local youth who is involved in some of the KCEO activities. He has a background in art and design and spoke a little bit about the culture of innovation and art that exists here in the Kibera community.
Malaki, can you tell us more about the creative arts culture in Kibera?
Yeah, I can say art and music is culture. Art is everything. Art is lifestyle. Kibera has brought up many artists, being from music to art to each and every to talent, sports. I can say it's the cradle of talent. Cradle. Yeah, in Kibera, most of the youths are talented. Nowadays, the most of the youths, they engage in photography, art, graffiti, but they don't have a platform. Yeah, they don't have a platform. There's a lot of talent here. Even if you walk around, you'll realize there, as in, everything is art in Kibera. starting from the railways to bridges, everything, to shops, it's art. So I can say it's a matter of setting up more stations and encouraging the youth to get involved, because the talent is inside, but it cannot grow.
I also spoke with Malaki about K-Shoes, KCEO's related social enterprise. K-Shoes is a bespoke shoe company which capitalizes on the creativity in Kibera. And so K-Shoes is one of those platforms through which young people can express their creativity. You have quite vibrant cloth and colors and styles of the shoes, and everyone here is quite fashionable.
Everybody's
in the clothes they wear.
Yeah, I can say even from their shoes that they make, yeah, they create employment for the shoemakers, yeah. The kitenges, the designs and the school. It's the new trend. It's the new trend. So everybody loves those shoes, yeah? So it's art. I can say it's art.
As an outsider going into Kibera for the first time, the first thing I noticed was the level of poverty and the amount of trash everywhere. But when talking to people like Malaki here, he's not focusing on the problems. He's focused on the freedom that young people have and how the arts are flourishing in the area. This is a really beautiful example of capitalizing on a strength that already exists in this community, which may not necessarily be visible right away. A local organization like KCEO sees the artistic talent that already exists and is really harnessing those talents for the benefit of the community. One of the original visionaries of KCEO is Joshua, a co-founder of K-Shoes. Here's Lindsay with an introduction to Joshua.
Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us about your role at KCEO?
My name is Joshua Tambo. I was born and raised in Kibera slums. It's a childhood environment for me, and I was so privileged to have been raised with an entrepreneurial mom who believed in the power of education. So I decided to found Kibera Community Empowerment Organization after university to give back to my community as a way of appreciating where I grew up. And I had key interest in women empowerment because my mom really worked extra hard to put food on the table and to give us education. And I believed that women like her should be given more support to raise more people like me for our next generation. So I co-founded it alongside with other friends, and we leverage on partnership with local institutions and local experts to identify, train, and mentor women living with disability on social entrepreneurship, leadership development, and digital literacy. And we harness locally available resources to invest in their social ventures. Currently, I'm serving as an advisory board to KCO. It's 100% women-led, and I'm also taking lead role in fundraising and attracting more investors and more partners to work along with us.
Could you tell us a little bit more about how K-Shoes supports the work of KCEO?
So interestingly, K-Shoes is one of the businesses that were incubated at KCO. And we tested this model locally, and we learned that mostly local people loved our shoes. And then when we tested international market, we even got more positive results in terms of more sales. And we decided to make it a KCO subsidiary company. So it works with skilled artisans, making shoes, selling them locally and in the international market. And we pull the resources, the generated revenues, to build an investment fund that is managed by KCO. So we invest directly in businesses that KCO has incubated to kick them off in their startup phase.
You mentioned how community sensitization and education is so important. And I know part of your prize activity is to do some work with the community and produce some products to help educate the community around people with disabilities and their potential. Could you tell us a little bit about those products and how they're going?
Well, we have community advisory sessions. And as I mentioned earlier, we have plugged in gatekeepers and opinion leaders. It's very easy to influence 50 women through their leader, their chair lady, or their youth group leader. So we have identified these people and bring them into a space and telling them, look, if we give women equal opportunities, if we give them access, if we give them platforms, then this is the possibility of ripple effect that we are going to have in our community. And we show them the injustices that these women have gone through and possibly what we can do collectively to address these injustices. So they begin to see the sense and they start preaching the gospel of inclusion and equality. And before you know it, they begin influencing people. And we take advantage of networks that already exist. We take advantage of the media that reach mass, like the local radio stations. Like, just run a session and talk about, maybe one afternoon, about women with disability and the challenges they face. And people call and they give their views. And at the end of the show, people are educated, and when I was young, we used to have chief barazas. This used to be a powerful event in my community. But I think with new governments, with new structures, as time goes, chiefs' powers have been reduced significantly. Chiefs were the most important and powerful people in communities. So what we are doing with this new prize is reactivate this. Like, start showing chiefs that you have the mandate to build a better community. And we are creating a platform for you. Bring people, influence people to come to your baraza, which is a gathering. And we will use that gathering to educate them about what we do and why it's important. So Chief Barazas has worked very well. Community Advisory Board has worked very well. And we're still in the progress of working on running the shows in the radio stations, which is also reaching good number of people.
How has your community been involved in supporting your work?
Yeah, so I'm coming from a amazing community. I'm coming from a community that believes in what I do, and I have taken advantage of our local leaders, of local successful entrepreneurs. I've taken advantage of people who believe in social change, and I have been involving them in designing our programs, in running our activities. I've involved them in making decisions to expand our operations. So I learned the power of partnership, and I learned to appreciate local resources. And some of them are this local expertise. And that is how I have been working hand in hand with them to harness their potential in building what we do in Kibera and across Kenya.
Well, Lindsay, there's so much to talk about in this episode. I'm starting to get a good sense of how closely integrated the work of KCEO is in this specific community. Before we talk more about that, I was struck by what Joshua said inspired him. He mentioned his mother and all the work and uphill battle she had to face in order to put food on the table, and a specific reference to the importance of education. If you remember, Annette from Safe Plan Uganda said the exact same thing. It speaks to what an important role mothers in particular can play in their children's lives and the transformative power of education. It sounded like this influence was a big reason why Joshua and his colleagues originally chose to focus on women. Lindsay, I know there's a lot we could talk about, but what were your highlights in terms of how KCEO is providing local solutions?
KCEO was founded with and for their local community and capitalizes on the most important local resource, the innovative and creative people of Kibera. The local people identify the most pressing issues and those most in need, and also contribute to overcoming these challenges by supporting the work of KCEO, such as by providing referrals to beneficiaries and a physical space for their offices, and by producing shoes using locally available materials. They also engage local champions and leaders who are more likely to directly influence their networks to raise awareness around the importance of inclusiveness and the issues that women with disabilities face.
I know we all wish we could have spent more time with these great people. They're really doing innovative work. To me, this was a good example of why we really need to be supporting local solutions. I don't think an outsider would come to Kibera and think, we should probably start a shoe company here. But that's what K-Shoes is doing as a result of a local response to a problem.
KCEO's innovative, sustainable business model is one worth highlighting. The money that comes from the social enterprise goes into an investment fund, which is funneled right back into startup capital for local businesses that KCEO has helped get off the ground through its training programs. I'm interested to see how they scale this model beyond Nairobi, as they have plans to expand to parts of eastern and western Kenya.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing how they might scale it up as well. In the next episode, we're going to explore how leadership is crucial to youth-led organizations and look at what Rhoda and Joshua are doing to attract talented volunteers to their organization. Remember, you can always learn more at the following websites: youthpower.org or educationlinks at www.edu-links.org. If you haven't already, remember to subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast app.